You're listening to CKUT. The following programming is taken from CKUT's Time Capsule Archives. For more from our 35 years of freeform broadcasting, visit our website at ckut.ca.
You are listening to CKUT Time Capsule Archives. This occasion, we have an exhaustive 2 hours interview made by Proby, interviewing Butcher T, talking about Montreal hip-hop history from a live broadcast show back in June of 2022. Keep it locked on CKUT 90.3 FM.
CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
This program is uncut. It contains strong language and some adult situations. Discretion is advised.
All the way live radio, CKUT 90.3 FM, every single Wednesday from 3 to 5. This is Pro V. Thank you very much for tuning in. Today's show is going to be an interview with Butcher T, kind of Montreal's version of Kool Herc, the guy who brought hip-hop to Montreal, the guy who, you know, one of the first DJs to really know how to put things together in a hip-hop form. So we get into talking about growing up in Montreal and Jamaica at the same time, you know, back and forth, and then, you know, all the influences that had him providing our city with that sound and influencing our city with what was coming from New York at the time, and a whole bunch of other stories, talking about, you know, his relationship with DST, Herbie Hancock's DJ, DJing at the Spectrum 84 big breakdance event, and a whole lot more. So, you know, that's CKUT royalty, I should call it, you know. He's been here at the station from the beginning, so enjoy the interview. Thank you very much, Butcher T. Thank you very much for everything that you provided us with and the path that you started us all on. So enjoy the interview. All the way live radio, CKUT 90.3 FM. Peace.
It's like we're in the living room.
Yeah, shit. Man, just chilling. Chilling with Butcher T.
Yes, it's the place to be.
Yeah, man, Montreal's example of a Kool Herc, you know what I mean? The guy who one of the guys who brought the music here, and I'm sure there's so many stories you have from what you were influenced, like, you know, what influenced you in those times,
stories,
and then bringing it here and the reaction from the people and how it just kind of probably took off within the city. So
you're going to like dissect me. You're going to be like picking out what you can pick out of my brain.
Just trying to access. I'm just trying to access the memories. You know, that's my job. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to do anything more than that, but just access the memories and hear your story.
You know, acupuncture when they use the pins there? You're going to be doing it verbally.
Yeah, man. So, you were born in Montreal?
Yeah, born in Montreal. I had the best of both worlds, you know. My parents both Jamaicans, so I had the privilege in living in Jamaica. Went to school there for a bit, then came back to Montreal, and I used to go back and forth. So, you know, so I had the culture of I'm a musical junkie. Mm-hmm. As in, you know, like in Jamaica now, when you're in Jamaica now, everybody thinks Jamaica's just like reggae music, but in Jamaica you hear country.
Yeah,
you hear R&B. You hear the side A's and you hear the side B's. So side B's would be the unknown.
Yeah.
But in Jamaica, though, the side B, they'll make it known or whatever. You know what I mean?
To explain that to somebody listening, the side A would be the big hit, whatever the single would be. And the side B, it's like, oh, let me give something to the people that might not be on the album or might be the kind of lesser known.
But they always made the side B. Yeah. You know, the side A was there, but they made the side B a hit. I mean, but anyways, what I'm saying, like, in Jamaica, there was so much of a variety of music. So how I was exposed to the music, there was a family house in Kingston, Rollington Town. And we had a corner bar the family owned. So I used to wake up to music and go to sleep to music. So it's like, you know, people putting money in the jukebox, you know, so that the guy's coming. Okay, at night. Okay, say at night, I'm hearing music when people's there drinking. You're hearing all kinds of, you hear Jerry Butler. You hear the Stylistics, the Dells. I mean, Marvin Gaye. I mean, I can go on.
Yeah.
So I was exposed to that. Hearing the old country music, Charlie Pride. You know, all those big hit artists or whatever. I was exposed to that. Hear a little bit of jazz. So open to that at night. And in the morning when the guy's coming to clean up, he'll put money in the jukebox. Boom. Meantime, he's clean up and then you hear it's the same music over again, you know. So I was exposed to all this kind of variety of music. So let's come back to Montreal, you know, got into buying music. Or even in Jamaica, Montreal, I was buying music, you know, 45. It was like a hobby. I didn't consider myself as a DJ. I was just buying it as a hobby. A lover of music.
Yeah, part of life. Just part of life.
And that's where my love of music really, really came.
And what age were you when you started buying music?
Age when I started buying music, how old was I? I was almost 13.
Okay.
Yeah, 12, yeah. 13,
14. Okay.
And couldn't afford the 45s. I couldn't afford the LPs. The LPs, you had to pay for that.
So at this time, where were you buying records in the city?
Well, in the city, I used to buy Phantasmagoria.
Okay.
Actually, no, first, okay, I should say first, Sky Reggae.
Because I used to buy, when I was a kid, I used to buy CDs at Phantasmagoria, yeah. And that was on Sherbrooke.
Blurry? Was it?
No, well,
I get mixed up.
I mean, in this time, it was just...
On Park Avenue.
Well,
it was Park Avenue and Sherbrooke there, because remember...
Okay, because I don't know that. What I know is the corner of... it was like basically the separation of NDG and Westmount, right around Claremont.
Claremont, yes, yeah, if I'm right.
So they had a location there, and I would just get CDs when I was a kid.
No, I used to buy when it was down off of Sherbrooke.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, cool.
Yeah. But my first place I was really buying records was Sky Records, Sky Reggae. That was on where the old form is, on Lambert Classe.
Okay.
And that was Sky Reggae. And he used to buy imported music. He had the reggae music he had. Jamaican guy, everybody knows him as Sky. And he passed away. You know, rest in peace. But there'd be a lineup when you had to go to him. His store be a lineup. Okay, he would go to New York, get his music, get it from Jamaica, and he also go to New York to get the American, like the disco and the funk and stuff like that. And there'd be a lineup of people waiting for him to get back. You know, and that was that. It's nice to see. You don't have that no more now. I mean, but okay, that's not no more like that now. But the enjoyment of it is just waiting in line. Well, I didn't wait in line. I just waited until it was time for me to go by. Oh, there's not much people there. Okay, I'll go in. But one of my first albums I bought there from him was Mother, Jugs, and Speed. It's a musical soundtrack with Raquel Welch and Bill Cosby. Mother, Jugs, and Speed. It's an old movie. You know, he was an ambulance driver. I think Bill Cosby was an ambulance driver. But that had some good music on there, you know, some good funky music. I think they had Brother Johnson on there. You should check that out. I know you don't have that in your collection.
I don't. You can tell by my face.
You know, but
thinking about it.
But like you were asking me, so it was Sky Reggae, Phantasmagoria, Downtown Records used to be on Stanley Street. This guy, Billy, used to run this place. He used to sell funk music, man, like funk, disco. You had that, specialized in that, you know? And you used to have Sam the Record Man. As you know, now you know I'm going, this is a record shop hopping, eh? You're going different, you know?
Yeah.
I used to go to another place, oh my gosh. Oh, it's on St. Catherine Street between Stanley and Peel. Oh my, I used to go, okay, hold on. It was Change of Taboo Records, but before that yeah. It was Taboo Records. It had a different name. Yeah, sorry, Taboo Records.
And you Chin have a Fat.
Guy, and yeah, Chin Fat, yes, with Enoje and Zilakazi. And what other records? Oh my God, there's so many, man. And one in McGill. One was in McGill Metro by the bay, downstairs by the metro. Used to be called Ebony. I think it was Ebony Music. And that guy specialized in disco, that type of disco and funk. You know, so, you know, and that's the fun when you're going to these places. You're buying records and either by yourself or you're going with another partner or you're just meeting somebody there. And if it's somebody you know, I say, hey, hey, Pro, man, listen, you got to pick up this record, man. They only have 2 copies or 3 copies, man. I'm taking one or taking 2, whatever. Hey, there's 1 left for you, whatever. And you can say, hey, you can talk music. Like, again, yeah. I'm talking for now. We're going to go back and forth, but we're talking for now. There's not that, what's the word I'm using?
The hands-on physical.
I like to read. I'm visual. I like to see things and
tactical.
Say, yeah, and I like to say, oh, who produced it or who's playing on there? Because in school, I used to play drums, you know, I used to play percussions, you know, the timbale, orchestra music and stuff like that, you know, read music and everything. So I like to see, oh, Phyllis DeCosta, like Sheila E. or her father, you know, her father, who's a percussionist or whatever. Oh, who's on bass? Stanley Clark or Marcus Miller, you know.
It always interested you to read the credits, to see who's on the album, who's putting work into this, why is it what it is.
I got to buy this, man, you know. So I just can see how I'm buying music. It's my hobby.
Yeah.
I'm not a DJ. I'm my hobby, you know. But eventually, you know, it evolved. I know you're going to get to that question, how it evolved. But, you know, I actually miss buying records and meeting other DJs. You know, of all creed or whatever, and getting to know them and say, hey, you know, pick this jam up, pick up that. And they'll say, hey, pick up this. So as I'm talking, I'm trying to remember the word. There's a passion to it. What's the proper word I'm using? You know, because you're interacting. The interacting with different people. That's what I miss, you know? Because we didn't really keep a secret of music. Like, you know, take this music and you not tell somebody. You want to... Hey, you got to check this out, you know? Yeah, so it was always open. I like to share that, you know, share it. Play it, say it, and say, here, check this out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So when people say that you brought hip-hop to Montreal, how did that, why do they say that?
Oh, wow. Let's see. Okay, now
and
we're going
to... Where does that come from, you know? Because right now, I guess you're talking about the...
No.
Your teens.
Yeah, my
collecting.
Exactly, collecting.
And then, you know, you must be approaching... Right now, we're probably in the 70s, approaching, you know, mid-70s.
I'm doing my early... To be honest with you, this is my early... This is like in the early... The middle 70s, we'll go into the late 70s, going into the 90s. I mean, going into the 80s, sorry. Mm-hmm. We're on good track here. Wow. Okay. So still a hobby.
Yeah.
It's the collecting record. But now. Oh, wow. We're going back into the archives now. Okay. Now how this started now. Okay. How I was introduced now myself as Stretch. Howard Stretch Carr from right here on CKUT, West Indian Rhythms. Now I've known Stretch from like 1902. You know, he's like my father, my uncle. You know what I mean? He had a nephew, Andrew Carr, Andrew Galloway. He used to come up in the summertime, and we met up, and he said, "Man, you gotta be in the, you know, into the what's happening in New York." I said, "What's going on in New York?" He said, "They got things called breaks." Beats, that type of, like, they would say beats.
What year is he telling you this in?
This was in 79.
Okay.
79. I'll tell you, to be exact, this is like in the summertime, 79. It was just like, I just finished school, so this is like about in July, August, September, you know? So he said, you know, beats. I said, what's beats, man? You know? So he's explaining to me, you're like, okay, for instance, like Grace Jones, pull up to the bumper. You know, then he introduced me to Billy Squire, the big beat, you know, Roxanne. So I said, yeah, I got that. I got all this. I got some of the stuff, you know. Had one at that time, just one copy. I didn't know nothing about buying really two copies, one copy. I said, yeah. So he introduced me to it. And then I used to go back and forth. I used to go to New York, like when he would be here, and I'll go to New York and see what they're doing in New York. With those records. Block party. This is block party on the streets now. You know, block parties are house parties. So I'm seeing, it's like, wow, I could dig this, man. Shoot. Everything, all the music they're playing, I know. I can't say I don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. You'll have like a you'll have like a Jackson song there. I think it's Glad to Be Here. Biggie used it. It has like steel drums on there, you know? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. I'm like, and that was the party rocker, you know, just playing the beats, you know, with the DJ. So I used to see the DJs extending the beat to it, records, like, wow. So I'm like, man, I could dig this, man, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm being introduced to this. He's introducing me to this, you know? He said, this is going to be it, man.
So
you know?
All stuff that you knew, but just the way that it was all being delivered.
Exactly. I had the music. I knew the music, mm-hmm. you know? But not the technicality, the technical way of putting the records.
How it was being structured.
Exactly, yeah. You know? So anyways, I was exposed to that. So back to Montreal. So I had the records, and he's back in Canada. Well, when he comes back, when he comes on the weekends, when he can. And he introduced more of it to me, you know? And we have the records now. That time now, like I said, I had the record, but only one copy. Now, I'm going to get to the... Now, you're supposed to question me now and ask me, how'd you get the name Butcher T? I'll say for you, how'd you get the name Butcher T, right? Now, everything clicks, meshes together, because how actually, by me playing now.
Well, it was Cutsanova first, right?
It was, yeah, you're doing your homework. it was Cutsanova. Yeah, you got it. But anyways, so that time at home, I was living at home, I had a Lloyd's turntable. You know the 8-track turntable, AM/FM?
Yeah.
Okay, probably. You got it. Okay. So I had that. So I would hook up a cassette player now. Not the 8-track, cassette player. So what we would do now, I would have a cassette player, and I'll play like the big beat. Boom, ba-tap, boom, boom, ta-tap, boom. You know, a couple bars there before the guitar comes in. Then what I would do, I would pause the button.
Pause tapes.
Exactly. So I would start the record again. I only had one copy at that time, right? One copy. So as I let go of the record, release, boom, right from the beginning. So make sure, because when I'm listening on this, you have your boom box, you know what I mean? Your ghetto blaster. And I would just play, because you want to make sure everything's on beat. So I used to do that all the time. So he was like, man, you're a butcher. So like I said, he was going to call me Cutsanova, you know, because of how I'm cutting, editing, you know? And he says, nah. He said, man, you're like a butcher, man, you know? So, hey, why don't you call yourself Butcher T? You know, Butcher. Yeah. T stands for Tony. So I said, yeah. So that's how I got my name Butcher T, just by doing the pause, cut, and cut. Yeah. So like I said, I had all these records I had. So now every time I'm buying records now, it's like,
I'm buying two. And you're searching for that break as well, right?
And searching for that break. You know, even a disco song like Cerrone. You have it like Cerrone, you know. What was the track of Cerrone there? Oh God, that was C minor. It was off the album C minor. But anyways, I had a break beat on there. You know, a break. So I had to buy two of those. Boom. So now I evolved now. From one turntable now, I had to get two real turntables. I had the Lloyds all in one. I had to get two now. So I bought two Lloyds. Not Techniques, Lloyds. The belt. It was a belt drive. It wasn't a magnetic drive, but the belt drive. So
you had to really finesse.
Yeah. Also, you know, let's go back a little. We'll go back a little bit. You know, we're talking about when I was buying the records and I was putting it on the Lloyds there and holding the records. Well, you're worrying about the other side of the records, that obviously a couple of times I burnt the plastic on the other side because I didn't have no felt at that time. Mm-hmm. Remember, you have to have a felt. Because you're holding the records, the disc is still turning.
Yeah.
So now I got into putting a wax paper
and as a cushion.
Okay. Yeah. And then to make the record really slide.
Or where'd you pick that up?
Huh?
Where'd you pick that up?
That time, where'd I pick the felt, man? That time the felt I had, hold on. I can't remember where I picked the felt. I'll be honest with you.
Did you talk to another DJ? And
no,
you were like,
no.
Oh,
actually, I realized I had to get the record's burning because I was using, actually, before I got the felt, sorry, correction. Before I got the felt, I had to put a wax under the rubber. And then when it didn't slide good, remember the rubber's has a weight on it, right? So what you have to do.
And it's kind of grippy, so it's not.
Exactly. Yeah. So the wax on with the rubber, and then when it wouldn't slide that good, after a time the wax gets worn out, you put a thin piece of cardboard.
Okay.
You cut for the middle part, so be able to slide a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so I evolved as in getting turntable. I got Pioneer turntables. I can't remember what model they were. They were good though. I can't complain. Got a Pioneer, and then I evolved, and I got myself a Rodec mixer. Rodec mixer. That was the bomb mixer that time. Didn't have no crossfade, but I mastered the two pods going up. You know, that didn't stop me. Crossfaders, that came like ABC to me after.
Yeah.
But the cross, I did the old fashioned.
Kind of a cheat code after.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so from that time, man, I just like, you know, move along. I was having fun with my time, and I used to practice my craft inside. I wasn't playing out.
Mm-hmm.
This is all compressed into the. In the 80s, nobody's really coming out yet or whatever.
Practicing your instrument.
But I was just practicing my craft.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't make sense to come down there and come out there and do what you're going to do and not master it. So yeah. I used to master it, and back in New York, I used to be back and forth. Not every other weekend, holidays and stuff like that, long weekends and stuff like that. So, you know, I got to expose myself more to see certain block parties, how when MCs used to battle, I used to see MCs in a lineup, literally like a lineup of MCs to rap. And when they're battling, it's like, wow. It's a C. It's not what you see now, but when you used to see it there, you know, in a park jam or whatever, or a street, and like they're just lining up, and it was art. It's like an artist starting from scratch on his canvas.
Mm-hmm.
You just see how each step of it.
Do you remember recognizing any MCs later on?
No,
that you had seen at those jams?
No, I used to just see it, just watching, not knowing who it is or whatever, you know, I'll be honest with you.
Not around enough
exactly.
Past that weekend to really start recognizing faces.
Probably was one of those, it could have been the LL or, you know, anybody from Queens, because the area I was in all the time was in Queens, Laurelton.
Okay.
Yeah. Only one time I went out to the Bronx, you know. We'll get into that one there later, but so everything was in Queens and Laurelton area, Merrick Boulevard, around that area in between there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some people who've been to New York and been to Queens, Merrick Boulevard, where they had the Burger King.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still there or whatever. You know, so like, you know, so I practiced my craft. So like that was like summer of the 80s, like in June. Yeah, June, July, and then my craft was like on point now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ready to go out there. So that was...
And you remember the first time you got out there?
Oh, man. The first time I got out there. Shoot. There's a couple first times. Oh, what was my first time? My first party was a house party. Wow. First house party I did. Was in Chattagee. I can't remember whose party it was. Honestly, I cannot remember. Somebody just hired me for a party. And somebody recommended me. And, hey, check out, you know. So I said, oh, so okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I'm just playing some music. It happened kind of fast, bro. It happened fast. But I played this party in Chattagee. And I'm just playing the music. And this guy came up to me and said, hey, man, you got a microphone? I said, no, I don't have a microphone, man. I have earphones, but I can turn into a microphone.
Yeah.
You know?
Just rapping into one of the ears of the...
You got it, you know?
Of the headphones, yeah.
Yeah, so he's out, you know, so he's like, kind of like a had that American accent, you know? So I said, yeah, you know? So he goes to me, you know, you have any beats? I said, yeah, man, I got some, I got beats. And he said, what do you got? I said, man, I got a Big B Billy Squire, you know? Yeah, I remember those days, eh? When, just to let you know, when I was playing, there wasn't much rap records out in the 80s.
Well, in 1980, there's a couple.
There's right? only a couple. Other than the first rap, considered the first rap, was Fatback, mm-hmm. King Tim III, on the Spring label.
Yeah.
White and Green label. That was considered the first rap. Then after came...
And when it came out, people call it rap, or were people...
It was yeah, because in New York, even in New York, at before... Sugar Hill Gang came up with
Rapper's Delight.
That song was playing before Rapper's Delight.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a funk group, eh? Fatback. But anyways, so King Tim, you know, so at that time I was playing King Tim III. So the guy, so I'm going to say, I should say, well, at that time it's just a guy. I didn't know his name, but his name is Sean Wan. That was his name. Real name, Nigel. But... So I said, yeah, I got a Billy Squire. So took out the records. Member Pro, I got two member, right? I'm buying twos now. So I said, yeah, I got a couple break beats. So I said, Billy Squire, I got the Big B. I said, man, can you rock it? So what I did now, I rocked it, what you call it there, the Billy Squire. And I started to like, I was on beat, boom, boom, boom. I remember the technique of playing at that time now. You have to be...
On point.
On beat. So when you're scratching, chicka, 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 boom, ta, boom, boom, ta, and then you're rocking, you're keeping that beat. That's my craft. I was always on, and I'm not going to brag, I was always on time.
Mm-hmm.
I knew timing. Remember, I took music, so I knew timing and stuff like that. So when I chicka, 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 and I'll do all kinds of scratching, meantime the rapper's rapping, and I can, boom, right back on beat, because the MC got to be on his
Yeah, because if not, you're just going to throw him off.
Exactly.
Everybody's timing gets thrown
right.
off. You're so basically not, the drums of the band. Like.
And it's not every MC can have timing like that,
mm-hmm.
you know? But anyways, he was on point. I'm like, holy moly.
This guy knows what
I'm
he's doing.
I'm like, holy shit, really? That's what I'm saying. I was like, damn, he's rocking. So now I'm feeding, revives are feeding now. So I'm like, oh, shoot, yeah. So I just started to rock that, the Big beat. Then I had another one there, you know? So you have another one? So the people now... They're rocking and like, wow, I had another beat lined up for him. He said, you got another? I said, yeah. So after I rocked that, because you only as you played it, you have to be, I don't have so many beats. I mean, you can't rock the whole beat, the whole party like that. Because when you're doing parties at those times, you don't have so much rap records. So you have to play the disco or the funk music that's mm-hmm. out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I had another one there. You're going to know it too, Monterey Groove. Pieces of a Dream, the group. That's his song, Monterey Groove, Pieces of a Dream. Do, zig, 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 zig. So I was rocking that, and this guy had lines, man. This guy was rocking. We had the place rocking, and make a long story short, that's when I started. I'm out now.
Yeah.
So the words out there.
Man.
Yeah, and then I started to get hired for parties. Venues do a lot of venue parties.
Okay.
Yeah, I got called for venue parties. All the parties I'm at, Sean won. Then he had his partner.
I was
partner,
about to ask you if you got stayed.
Yeah, he had his partner there, Supreme, Lord Supreme. And like I said, these guys, they were in New York, both Trinidadians, but they were raised in New York too, and at that time, they used to hang with the Wu-Tang. You know, I don't know their story with the Wu-Tang, but they used to hang with those guys, you mm-hmm. know, and stuff like that. But they were on point, man. So everywhere we'd play, man, they'd be there. So coming into me as the cool Herc of Montreal, you know, Butcher T, I have to give their props because without them would be me and me without them. Yeah. You know, it goes... It's
kind
a link.
Like everybody fusion to make that moment.
It's a link. I couldn't do, you know, because those are the guys I started with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then along, long. Then you had, there's DJ Ray, you know, then the Classic Crew and all these came along, you know, I'm just going up ahead a little bit, you know, but with them, I was working, doing a lot of stuff, doing everywhere I was, they were there rocking the party, because you were getting a New York, you were getting a New York vibe from them. They were living here.
Yeah. But you were getting and also from you, because you were going there, like you said, every now and then, and you were catching the flavor down there.
Exactly,
bringing it here,
you know? And it was like, wow, man. And up to now, these guys should have had something out, like a record. They could have put out a record. A lot of artists that started way ahead of time, they could have put out something at that time right here in Montreal. I'm not putting them up there, but they were the real flavors. Mm-hmm. They were the flavors. It's like Montreal had their own, they had their flavor here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I guess because there wasn't a business around hip hop at that time.
Exactly. No,
so
there's
nobody to really understand, like, this is something that we, you know,
exactly,
capitalize on or whatever.
Exactly.
Is, you know? Yeah.
But, sitting here, you're talking with you or whatever, it's like, wow, man. You know, I go back, I was like, it was fun. I did it for, I don't think of money, man. I'm like certain artists, you know, like R&B artists, like Parliament Funkadelic. If you read the book about George Clinton, you know what I mean? These guys are way ahead of their time. Mm-hmm. And when you read their biography and stuff like that, they did it for it. It's a passion, man. Money was secondary. Some people out there might say, but you know, when you, real good musicians, man, and gifted people who have gifts, they don't even think about money. It's like a passion, man.
I think a lot of George's money went towards putting that spacecraft together for the show.
That is true. And other than that, helping other members of the band, like when they're in certain situations, you know, but hey, yeah. Those moments there, my learning experience, and going through playing with Sean Juan and Supreme, man, you know, I was like, yeah. So that's why they call me the God, you know, Butcher T, the God, you know, the Cool Herc of Montreal, you know.
I hear you, man. That's what it is. And do you remember any other? See, so you know, you said there's that original party. Then you guys did stuff around Vanier. Do you remember any other parties that you guys were doing?
Of course, man.
Anything memorable to tell us about?
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we're gonna try to keep it on the stepping stone. We might go ahead a little bit, but then in Montreal now, from the parties now, it evolved to block parties now. Block parties, like I have to give props. This guy started the first block party, Sputnik, Trinidadian guy. I don't know how he got the parks, man. He got certain, like, on. He would get in La Salle. He had a La Salle Arena. It was inside the La Salle Arena in a hall, you know, had Blanco style. He had a park in Ducoutre. In Ducoutre. In when Ducoutre. In Ducoutre by Mount. No, sorry. By Mountainsides, and also the Courtrai.
Okay.
This guy had a sound system, booming sound system, and when we used to do blockos, and we used to do
all the island people really.
Yeah. You know, used to do blockos on, like I said, okay, what specifically on Mountainsides, set up there right by the chalet, the Mountainsides there, and we would rock that place, man. You know, you play your regular music, like I tell you, you know, you play your regular R&B, your reggae and stuff like that. And then party. I mean, what do I mean party? Your MC time. Get the beats out. That time you had LDG out at that time. No, LDG. Yeah, he was just coming out there too. He was just coming out there. He was doing his work, you know, doing his work or whatever.
But work,
I was the one out there. And also, I have to give credit also to, Everton Green, you know, Everton Green, Patrick. That was a crew spec too.
Okay,
those guys were out before me, but their craft, they weren't doing their craft. I was doing my craft way before them or whatever, you know what I mean? But, you know, they did their thing. But they were doing the blockos too or whatever.
Okay.
So everywhere they were at the blockos, I was there. And it was all fun and love, man. And I was always solo by myself. It's Butcher T, not a crew. But the MCs, those guys were like supreme and never like, that was my, they were loyal.
Yeah.
Loyal. So I did a lot of block parties, a lot of block parties. Decortre, like I said, that was Decortre is on Victoria. You know, Victoria Street, you have Spicy, where you have Curry House there. Yeah. It's right on the right-hand side there before you go under the
bridge
there.
Before the underpass. Yeah.
And right there, you used to have a roller skating place called The Track. Yeah, so we used to do on the street there, whatever. And now, those are memories, man. I mean, people would just come out and blocko style, man. So you had the break beats happening, a lot of break dancing and stuff like that. And then memorable times, another piece there was at the Spectrum.
84?
Yeah. I'm going all different directions. 84.
That's cool. That's
with Mike Williams. He organized that. And I have to give a lot of thanks to Mike Williams and a lot of break dancers out there who up to now, could be even today, still getting some work because of Mike Williams, because at the Spectrum, he had a breakdancing competition.
So why don't you talk about meeting Mike Williams in the lead up to the Spectrum?
No problem. Mike Williams now, I was introduced, he used to have a show on CKGM called, what was it called again? Oh my gosh. It was something from 6 to 12 every, was it Friday night or Saturday night? Friday night, Saturday nights, yeah. And you get R&B music. Yeah, R&B music.
I'm gonna find the name.
Yeah. Sound of Soul? No, here we have to talk about Ricky's program. Shoot, hold on. What do they call it? Oh my goodness, shame on me, man. Hold on. What's it called again? But anyways, that was the only R&B program in Montreal from 6 to 12 on CKGM on an AM station. And actually, DJ Ray and Sean Juan and Supreme mentioned my name to Mike Williams. And that's when, that's how I got introduced to Mike Williams. So he hired me as a...
Club 980?
Club 980, yeah. It was called Club 980. But he had also a different name to it. But it's called Club 980. Yeah, that's what it's called, Club 980. And when they introduced me to him, he had me in the mix now. Because what happened now, he'll have Classic Crew. There's two girls, Baby Wavy One and Baby Blue. Mm-hmm. He'll have Sean One, DJ Ray, and Blondie B. Blondie B and her teddy bear. Her friend was called Teddy Bear, you know. But Blondie B, she rapped in like four languages, man. Mm. And anyway, so I was part of that crew, you know. So what happened? They introduced me to Mike, and when we do certain events, I was the DJ for them. Plus, at one point, Mike had to play for, that's when they started Much Music when they first started in Toronto. So Mike applied for that job and he got the job. Mm. Okay, he was doing CKGM and also Shom FM, playing rock, playing the R&B, okay. You know, and CKGM. So now his show is recorded now. So he hired me as, he pre-recorded the show, so he hired me at CKGM as an operator. So I just make sure the music be played. I'm working at CKGM, but I was an operator, making sure
that what he did was
everything was being played or whatever, you know. So I did that for a while, and then when he came back, now he'll come back on the weekends and he organized the breakdancing competition at the Spectrum, and that's when doors really opened up, man. It was two nights from right, yeah, afternoon and a night, and he introduced it to Montreal, opened up a lot of doors, like I said, and that time who came in town? DST was in town, Yeah, DST. Was introduced to DST, and me and you, we used to hang. So even at that time when he was there, you know, the show went on breakdancing, and he was on there. He came there feature. He played, actually he played on stage.
And for those who don't know who Grandmaster Grandmixer DST
Herbie
is,
Hancock Rocket.
Exactly, man. He was, you know, when Herbie Hancock did a live performance and introduced scratching to the world, DST was the guy there doing the scratches, and he was on that album doing all the cuts and scratches. So, but yeah, continue. You're saying he was there.
Yeah, he was there. So at that time, remember, he's touring with Herbie Hancock all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he makes time to, he came to Montreal. He loved Montreal, so he came to Montreal. And that time, remember Michael Jackson used to have that jacket, that...
The red one?
Huh?
The red jacket?
The red jacket with the zippers, yeah. So, what you got there? He said, man, here, go on stage, man. Put my jacket on, man, you know? So that's all right. So anyways, when MCs, Sean Juan, Supreme, Blondie B, remember every time they come on, I'm the house DJ for that whole event or whatever, for the break dancers, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing my thing. So, you know, that was my highlight there. I could say, wow. I'm not a guy that likes to be out of lights or whatever. I was like a shy guy.
Yeah. You're not a big show off.
Yeah.
Whatever.
To be in the limelight or whatever,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
But it was fun because the place was packed, man, around. And then, as you know, it was
a moment for you to share that passion with as many people as you possibly could at that moment and feel it back from them. So, you know.
So that gave me the vibe. And remember, it's an all-age show, eh? So parents were there with their kids and everything. And the competition went on and everything. And then we had a second night. And funny thing, eh? Another artist that was here in town, too, was T. La Rock. No, was it T. La Rock? Yeah, I think T. La Rock was in town, too, at one point.
Okay.
He just came. I know he was in town for some reason, for something else. Because a lot of, in Montreal, remember, a lot of different artists come in, slip through the crack for a moment, then boom, they're gone for a certain, you know. But he showed up for the show at one time, you know, which is nice, you know. Got a chance to talk to him, not a short period or whatever, and that was it. But that was a highlight, one of my big, big highlights, man. With, you know, the breakdancing competition. And that kind of opened doors for myself, along with a lot of breakdancers. A lot of them ended up, remember, that was the thing, breakdancing. Everybody wanted to know how to break dance. Schools were introducing the break dance, like, hey, you know, come in, let's have a, you know, we want to open up another section for break dance.
Yeah.
So
it was turning into an extracurricular activity for schools and
exactly. Yeah. Dance schools and stuff like that. So a lot of the dancers who won first place, who came in second or whatever, everybody got a piece, man.
Got work.
Yeah, at work. Yeah. Like I said, even up to now, some of them still represent. I'm quite sure that, you know, and that's the beautiful thing of it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as the artists now, like the rappers or whatever, not the only one that really, really came out with, from what I know, with a record was DJ Ray.
Yeah, talk about DJ Ray, man. Tell us more about DJ Ray. And because let's say for somebody like me, born in 84.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
But by the 90s, I remember seeing like a DJ Ray video on Music Plus.
Yes.
And but I never really knew much about him before then or after then. So
Ray was out before. I could say Ray was kind of like me. We're gonna go back into my when I was learning my craft. Ray was out before me. You know. Like I said, I used to do stuff for DJ Ray too, you mm-hmm. know, along with Sean, one of them too. He was there too. But Ray was out before. He had his craft from before, because he was DJing too, you know, but he didn't have his craft wasn't, He didn't have his craft like how I had my craft.
Like the, what would you call it? Like a hip-hop format.
Hip-hop format.
He was doing it. He was DJing, but not doing it in that
exactly.
same New York hip-hop format
yeah, exactly.
that you were bringing in.
I had the techniques, not the techniques, turntable.
yeah.
I had the techniques. I really studied my craft. Mm-hmm. I really studied my craft. I was like passionate for it to know the tricks to it. I was fast and everything, you know? And not only for cutting, mixing, everything was... cleanliness. I kept everything clean.
Yeah.
As in, when I'm doing a cut, it's like, oh shit! It's like the cut is like, it's everything's going straight in. Boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. But anyways, with Ray, like I said, Ray was before me. He was DJing. You know, he was more into the reggae vibes at the time. But he was still. He had his. He knew his variety too and stuff like that. You know, playing his funk and stuff like that and disco, and he used to do a lot of he used to do a lot of house parties, you know. Those times, you want to talk other than Ray, you had other DJs like Basil Rose, you know, Dr. Jam. You had Ozzy, you had Prince Charles. These are all Burgundy guys I'm mentioning too. I used to hang in Burgundy. My grandmother had a beauty salon there, Mendes Beauty Salon. But you know, you had Prince Charles. You had a lot of DJs in Burgundy time, you know. And then, other than that, I told you earlier on, before you had Spec 2. You had Spec 2. You had, and then you have some other old days like Getty Sound System. You know, you had, we're talking about reggae sound system. You had a lot, you know, Melotone, and also another popular DJ too, Jamaican style there too, was Jakarta. You know, Jakarta was at the same time as DJ Ray. You know, DJ Ray is very versatile too, because he did his reggae chant toasting and also hip hop style too.
So how did it come about that he put out a record in the 80s? Like,
what year, Ray, what was his first record? Ray had a record, but he was on a label called, if I'm right, he was on a label called ISBA. And he had somebody was very interested in him and helped him along the way getting his record out, you know. And that's how Ray got his record out, you know. He had somebody behind him working with him, you know. And he was like, actually, you know what, he, you know, Shinehead is a reggae artist in New York,
yeah,
but he was also a hip hopper. He's also MC, MC hip hop style breakbeats and stuff like that. He was good, and Ray was the same thing. He was Montreal's Shinehead.
Okay,
yeah, I have to put him that way because Shinehead was very versatile reggae and hip hop style.
Yeah,
and Ray the same thing on point. Good, he'll just rap hip hop style and go boom right into the reggae vibes.
Yeah, man.
Remember those days? A lot of DJs out, but after a point that myself, Spec 2, Ray, we were the ones that were like standing out, you know. LDG, you know. Then you had Tough, a lot of DJ, and they had this one MC I didn't mention, and Captain, what was his name? DJ Crunch, Captain Crunch, he called himself. This guy was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where he is, you know. Now he is around. Captain Crunch, this guy was called himself, but he was like I don't want to say underdog, but he just wasn't getting into that path with us. I should say with us or whatever. I mean, anytime I would play somewhere, whatever, everybody was welcome. I didn't say, oh, no, you're not part of it. I wasn't into the crew thing there. You know, if you want to rock on the mic, come on. Yeah. You know, he must have did it once or twice, and I never saw the guy. But this guy was a talented guy, Captain Crunch. You know, I have to really mention his name, you know. And he had another MC there, Justice. You know, he used to also, you know, they're just clicking in right, what, you know. He was around, part of the Classic Crew. He was a good MC too, but I haven't seen him for a while, you know. You know, he's he's around somewhere, but you know, if ever he hears this, you know, hey, you get a chance, man, hey, Justice, just Google me, man. You know, get in touch with me. You know, but that was a talented guy. He was also a musician, percussion, congo. And he did jazz. You know, okay. I think his father was into jazz, you know. But a lot of these people, I didn't see. There's only a few that came out that crack, you know. But we all had fun. It was all fun at that time, man. Just the blocko style, the house parties, and you know.
I remember one time, I didn't want to forget because we were talking about DST earlier. You were telling me about how DST used to get all kind of gadgets from Herbie Hancock.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I was just vibing with you at one of your shows at New Time Cuts one time. I was there like sampling some records in the library, and I came to, you know, check you in the room, and you were like, yeah, he gave me this pirate radio type of thing where I could go and I could just broadcast to like whoever was living in the radius of however many blocks.
Can explain that one to you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So well,
no,
what was that about?
One time he came into town, like just a surprise visit, you know. I was living in LaSalle then, you know, and he called me. He said, "Man, I'm in town." I said, "Okay, I'll meet you, pick you up, come by my place." Now he would tour, as I told you before, he would tour with Herbie Hancock.
Yeah,
he would tour with Herbie Hancock. Well, that was that. So, on tour, they're going China, all different places. Where are all the instruments made? Electronic instruments, synthesizers.
Overseas.
Right.
Yeah.
Herbie Hancock. What does he play? Other than keyboard, synthesizers, and all that.
And he's known as the guy who's always experimenting exactly. with new equipment. So anybody with the opportunity to give him a piece of technology is going to do that.
You said it right there. So he would get all up-to-date stuff just to test. He's like the guinea pig to test these instruments. So at that time now, remember, we're listening to, you have your earphones. You got to plug it into your system, into your boombox or whatever at home or whatever. He had a little transmitter. Am I right? A transmitter to get the music out, right?
Yeah.
A little box like this, as I'm describing to you, like this. Yeah.
Smaller than your hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like this. Little box. And he would have that, and you would tune into your radio station. Say, like an unoccupied dial, like 88.1. He'll synchronize it to that channel. Okay? Now, let me go back a little bit. With that same transmitter box now, right? You had a cordless mic. I mean, not cordless mic, cordless earphone. So you would have it here, and you're hearing your Walkman cordless. This was like in 80, to be exact, 87. Because I think the breakdancing was 87 around that time.
Well, it was 84.
84?
The Spectrum event was 84.
Okay, 84. So let's say 85, 84, 85.
Yeah.
He had this little box. So this box here, you have it inside there. And you hear your Walkman. It's cordless, eh? Because a little transmitter there. So anyways, at my house now, he's showing me 81.1. You have the little box. He says, anybody on your street here wants to listen to what you're playing, you just, what you call it there, you just put on 81. Everybody just put on 81.1. So it's like a pirate radio station like they do in England. And everybody on your block can hear what you're playing. You can have your own little radio thing happening.
That's crazy.
And now look how long ago that was. And just now it's being introduced. How many years now the cordless has been out now?
Yeah.
It's been out a couple of years now, but this was like a long time ago.
Yeah,
but remember, a lot of these things
40 years ago.
Yeah. A lot of these things can't come out now, eh? I mean, at that time they couldn't come out. They were way advanced.
Yeah.
Remember our cell phones. I don't want to go off the subject. Certain cell phones that you get in China or whatever, these places, you can't bring them here. They won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came, I was like, wow. But we can't do that here in Canada. Remember, right? They have those vans going around looking for false signals like that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah, that's why we don't have pirate stations here.
Okay. Okay.
No, but every time he would tell me these stories, Herbie Hancock got this new synthesizer, you know, and knowing that they gave him this, look, this is what he showed me, what he got, you know, the little transmitter. And so I was like, wow, man, that's like benefits, man.
Yeah. That's neat, man. Especially with the timing of that.
Yeah.
Man. So there was another thing about DST, which was when I was interviewing DJ Choice. Uh-huh. He said that, you know, he went to go see you. You had brought DST into town to do a show or whatever, and you guys were DJing back to back or whatever.
Oh, that was the same at the Spectrum there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, you were right up to par with DST. Like, he was like, you know, this people notice, like, oh man, like, you know, you would think that, oh, Grandmaster, you know, DST taking the stage would, you know, would be,
man,
a level up, but they said that everybody was like, oh, they recognized that Butcher T was just up on the same level, if not better, and doing things just, you know, just as good.
Man, he's put me too much up there, man. Listen, I just did my craft. I was doing my craft into that level. Actually, yeah, I was doing my craft to their level at that time, mm-hmm. at their level. So it's like you're doing, it's like I'm catching up.
Yeah.
I remember the breaking and how they were cutting, I mean, the technical part of scratching and cutting and stuff like that. You know, I was just trying to keep up on all that, on the back spinning.
You're on the way there.
I was on the way there. You know, I wasn't even marking my rec. Guys would mark their records. I wasn't marking my records. I should have been marking my record, but I was visual. I can see. Because when you look at a groove, when I see a groove, I see a shadow. I see a little shadow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shoot, this is where the breakbeat is. Because when you see how records are pressed, I've been in a pressing plant before where they see. You, funny thing, the groove is all, the groove in the vinyls are there, but you'll see a certain part of the groove changes.
Yep.
You know? So I see, oh, shoot, this must be the breakbeat. So sometimes you put you drop your needle. You drop your needle, and boom, you're right in the groove. Because when you drop your needle, you're right at the break. So, you know, so I was catching up. Mm-hmm. And by the time he came, I was in the par. So when he was doing his rocket scratch, okay, I was doing all that, plus I would add a little bit more to it and stuff like that. Like I would like keep on backspinning left, right, and I'd like when I used to play drums, you used to have fundamental things you play your drums called paradiddles, mm-hmm. like left, right, left, left, right, left, right, left, right, right.
Yeah.
So I'll do shit. That's not swear. Hey,
it's all good,
I'll though. Do shit like that. You know, like backspinning and whatever, doing stuff like that. Like one incident, I did something like after I did the breakdancing competition at the Spectrum. There was a party at the Masonic Hall that was on Sherbrooke, right before, after you pass Atwater going east.
Right before St. Matthew.
Yeah, on the right hand side.
Yeah.
Spec 2, which was Everton Green, Patrick, and Keith Lewis. Yeah, Keith Lewis, you know? Late Keith Lewis, he passed away, you know? I came into the party just finishing the breakdance competition, right? And I came into the party, you know, and they knew I was in, you know, say, hey, Butcher T's, and, you know, hey, Butcher T, what's up? You know, Butcher T in the house, this and that, you know. And the party's rocking. Then Keith Lewis now, some people mention this sometimes too. Keith Lewis mentioned, you know, oh, come to the DJ booth, you know, they want to have a competition.
Between you and...
Between me and, with Keith, you know, from Keith and Karen, you know? And that's not my thing, man. I'm not a competition guy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just like to...
Vous écoutez Show pour le Monstone sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM. avec François Letourneau. Nous sommes jeudi le 1er septembre, il est 21h.